Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just watched Season 6, Episode 5, titled The Door. I think we all know why it's called that, yeah?
Yeah.
It's an guessing game.
It's an allegorical story where Hodor is George Martin desperately trying to hold back the tide of the show. And the zombies are the double Ds and the entire production crew. And Bran is his desire to complete the series before the TV show overtakes him. And it's just not meant to be. He couldn't hold the door.
He couldn't.
It broke his brain.
All he's going to say from now on is George R.R. George R.R.
Germ. He's just going to say Germ. This was a hell of an episode. And a lot of mind-blowing things were learned and happened.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Like the White Walkers were apparently the ultimate weapon the Children of the Forest deployed against the First Men and got away from them.
A little bit, yeah, apparently. We saw them create like an actual White Walker, not a white, right?
I think so. I wonder if we saw them create like the king.
Right. Probably so.
We didn't get to see his face, and I'm sure Bran's going to learn other things from Weirwood. Assuming they escape, I feel like they're going to escape, but I don't know exactly. Like,
if they don't escape, oh my god, what a sacrifice for nothing.
Right.
Well, multiple sacrifices. Leaf Girl just blows herself up for no reason.
Probably the rest of the Children of the Forest. Like, was that it? I don't know. The Bloodraven, like a lot
and
of...
And then the most tragic, Hodor. Like, Hodor's sacrifice has to mean something.
Yeah. Are we sure he's dead?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going on record, 100% dead.
It would be pretty... I mean, it would take a lot of the power out of the episode if we find out that, like, Bran just like, come on, you know, and...
Yeah, hold the door, and then... Yeah. Okay, that's enough, holding the door, let's go.
You held it, good job. Now lead them over to where we're at. Yeah,
what do you think about, like, the initial reactions on this sort of, like, cosmic time loop here? Like...
Well, I mean, so that's
Hodor's
been a, that's
future
been a,
causes his past to change.
That's been a hot theory, the whole Bran the Originator. I mean, somebody that was suggested almost instantly when they flashed back and found that Hodor wasn't always Hodor. Someone had a theory that I liked it. I wasn't sure if they were going to go in that direction. But, you know, now it's like, how far is it going to go? Mm-hmm. We have conclusive proof that Bran can affect the past and almost like a causality loop because he'd already done it since Hodor was Hodor, which, you know, you're starting to get in Terminator territory, Back to the Future territory, where it's like, okay, we need to start looking to see if this is tracking cleanly, because anytime you're fucking with a time paradox. But like, there's a lot of cool details. Like, I thought it was interesting how, and I don't know if you remembered this, but very first episode, they had the White Walkers create this kind of spiral pattern out of the dismembered corpses of wildlings and their horses.
Oh, yeah.
And that was to kind of show that was an intelligent force. But I thought it was interesting how it was mirrored by the Children of the Forest kind of spiral Stonehenge they had on the Weirwood.
Right.
It seems like it's... I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that implies, the fact that the Children of the Forest created them, and like how much of their culture, and it's kind of weird also that I noticed it was pretty prominent that the Tree Girl had those little stones that they were able to charge up, but it looked like she was charging with like ice power, yet exploded in a fire. You know, anytime I see that, it's kind of dichotomy. I'm like, well, this is a Song of Ice and Fire. What does that mean?
Right.
The
whole thing could hinge on these tree girls, tree children, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're the Song of Ice and Fire. They started this whole thing, apparently.
But it's interesting because I've always heard the story that the Children of Men, or Children of the Forest and the First Men fought each other until they formed an alliance during the First Long Night, or around about that, and it seems like they allied against the monsters that the children created themselves.
Could be,
I mean, I'm sure that's got to have been theorized sometime in the last 20 years, but I don't think it was one of the leading theories.
Okay.
It was always like some kind of Stark gone bad, or just maybe they were a force of the universe or something. But it looks like, no.
Well, it makes me wonder, like, so there's a lot of stuff in here. I'm sure we're going to get into it on Tuesday's cast a little bit more, but initially, like, he asks, like, something about why they created them, and she says to defend us against you.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, talking to Bran.
Yes.
And you know, with his time powers, maybe she's literally saying, you, Bran.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how, since we're dealing with time and causality and paradoxes, like, where did the original... Is this the first time he's actually reached back through time and done something?
Right.
Or, I mean, or I don't, what does it even last, mean the first like, time, last time? Like,
right.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Does he ever do that?
This
does
is the kind of, like, Dr. Whovian, timey-wimey stuff that you got to start asking yourself now.
Right.
Now, it's funny because there's been a lot of people, especially in the spoiler section, saying, like, man, if this time paradox stuff starts, this could be, like, a great jumping the shark moment. It didn't feel like it yet.
Not yet.
It
no.
felt like a pretty cool evolution of the story.
Yeah, if they use it sparingly and in just really important ways,
yeah.
And I thought like I'll be okay with it.
I gotta say, I was prepped for the Hodor theory,
mm-hmm.
but the way it worked out, I thought was pretty elegant and meaningful.
Yeah.
The whole fact that Bran, I mean, this is it kind of goes down exactly like the Luke Skywalker and Yoda thing. You know, he overreached.
Mm-hmm.
Got his ass smacked. Like, I felt like the last half hour of Empire Strikes Back got compressed in like 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And now he's having to flee. He's half trained and he's not ready, but mm-hmm. he's going to have to make the best showing of it. And what can he do? He's still, you know, he's still a crippled boy. He hasn't learned to fly yet.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his giant hulking warrior form he can take anymore.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No,
so
he
I like, because that's like, I don't see how they're completely out of danger yet, though.
Right, right. I mean, they're on foot. They're running away. He's still got the mark on him.
Yeah.
It's not like he can out hide this guy.
Yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide, Bran.
Right.
So, I don't know how this sacrifice really means much of anything, but there it is on screen. And it was a powerful scene, for sure.
Yeah.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
The other thing I want to talk about, and if you got a different direction that your mind's taking you, but I want to talk about Littlefinger and Sansa.
Okay, yeah.
Specifically, the significance of the fact that she did lie.
Mm-hmm. To Jon.
And what does that mean? What does it mean for Sansa and Jon, and what does it mean for the accuracy of the intelligence itself?
Right. During the scene where Littlefinger is like, let me just say one more thing.
Uh-huh.
You need an army. And your half brother's got one. Go hook up with him.
Oh, your uncle. It's her uncle, great uncle, the Blackfish, has got the army, right?
I think so.
Because he didn't say anything about brother. I've got an army.
I think he said Catelyn's half brother.
Sure. Well, or I think they're full brother.
But he said half.
Did
brother.
He
specifically? He stopped.
Oh well, yeah, but
looked
I think,
at her and said, "Half brother." I don't know what he was on about.
Well,
there,
he was talking about John. He's like, "I have an army." He goes, "You're half brother," but then he also said about the Blackfish. I think there was two separate conversations.
I thought they were one and the same. I
just
saw it's an
once.
Initial, right,
yeah.
It's an initial take.
And I was looking for Blackfish information too. So
right, and I think obviously he's manipulating her.
Yes,
that's what Littlefinger does. Every word out of his mouth is manipulation. I think she realizes that, and that's why she doesn't want to tell John, because she's now doing the thing that Littlefinger wanted her to do, and she would feel like a dummy telling John, I'm doing exactly what Littlefinger said I should do.
Yes. Yeah.
Because John would go, you fucking fool.
Yeah.
We'll have none of that.
Uh-huh.
We're going the opposite direction.
Well, she's not going, she's sending Brienne. I don't think she's foolish enough to go herself.
No, of course not.
Yeah. But there is, I mean, yeah, Littlefinger is up to something.
What if she gets Brienne killed? What if her wanting to seem like she knows what's up gets Brienne killed? I will be so disappointed if she gets Brienne killed.
I mean, I don't know. They're off and off so many huge characters now that I was just thinking last night, before I went to bed, I'm like, what if they kill Tyrion?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's nothing off the table.
No.
Like, what do you do if they kill Tyrion?
Keep watching and a little piece of me dies.
Yeah, I know, but that's like, and that's I that's the other cool thing about this episode. This is the first time in many, probably since season one Game of Thrones, where I hadn't read the books, where I felt genuinely terrified for some of the main characters. Like, I didn't think Bran would die because, you know, I
seems he has a bigger destiny.
That would be a big dead end. But I didn't know anything about, like, Mira. She could die. Mm-hmm. All the, you know, Children of the Forest, not that she was a huge character. The Three-Eyed Raven, Hodor, those people mm-hmm. were all in. And, man, everyone they could kill, they did kill.
Yeah.
Even fucking Summer. Like, the Stark direwolf, another direwolf bit the dust.
Summer died?
You didn't see that?
No. Yeah,
no,
I missed it.
He was staying there and snarling, and they all piled on him, and he started making the yelping dog noises.
Oh,
I don't think that was good. No.
I saw him take one of them out.
No, that was sick, yeah. But no, he got ripped apart at the end.
Oh, man. No, I didn't see that.
Well. Big death.
Another wolf bites the dust. No big deal.
Another shocking thing. Well, before we go away from Sans and Jon, totally cool that she whipped up those her badass Stark dress and his Ned
his cloak,
Ned cosplay replica.
He's just turning into Ned. He just needs some hair dye.
Yeah,
he's
no
good.
Kidding. Right.
He's got the bun. He's got the sword.
Don't
he's
even
got
go
the cloak.
Just dye his hair and say he's actually Ned.
Right.
Are there any Northern lords left alive that would recognize him?
Like, speaking of Ned, what about that fucking play? Was that not one of the greatest things you've ever seen? Like, just the way it crawled under Arya's skin.
Well, and that's the thing I kept on saying. Like, Jesus Christ, keep it together. You're no one.
Yeah, you're supposed to be no one.
You can't do this kind of stuff. And this is the kind of thing that's going to get her in trouble.
This is 100% a test, right? Jacken knows what's going on at this play. He knows what kind of show they're putting on. And this is a test to see if she truly is no one.
Well, see, I thought this was going to give her a head of steam to kill her. But it seems like, no, when she gave her report, she's asking all kinds of questions about why does she have to die. And she seems like an okay person. And you're right. This is a test. I don't know where it's going. I don't know if this is the thing. I mean, I presume. I never thought that Arya was going to go full faceless man. Mm-hmm. The thing that's going to like break her faith with them?
I think the test there was, will she just go off here, or will she do the recon like she's supposed to?
So far,
come back,
good.
Figure out how to kill this person stealthily.
Yeah,
and it seems like she passed that test mostly.
Well,
like,
she still got to do the deed,
right?
And
she passed
also,
the first part.
She said, I'll poison the rum because only What's-Her-Face drinks from it. But that's not true, right? The dwarf did as well. Didn't she? Didn't they?
I'm not certain. He might have walked up with a drink, but...
Just on first watch, and obviously if it's not true, I'll get it on the next watch I have, which might be as soon as I get home.
Yep.
But, I thought, like, is that a sign of her sloppiness? Or a sign of... Because, like, that's one of the things you pay for the Faceless Men is that... People die, preferably looking like an accident, but it's very precise. You don't, like, kill a group of people in it. You don't kill the wrong target.
No one's
paid
the price for that other person.
Right. That's not how you honor the god.
No.
So I'm very curious to see where that's going.
Oh, man. I have so many questions about the Faceless Men and Braavos and the Iron Bank.
Sure.
We'll get to it all on Tuesday. I don't want to delve into it here.
Okay.
But what else? What other things? There's some stuff with Dany.
Do you
want to
talk about the
Jorah.
Other thing that was kind of interesting? Is the whole Kingsmoot that we've
you're on? Yeah,
I've been looking forward to. It went about how I thought it would go, but on the other hand, I didn't expect Yara to make off with all their ships.
Yeah,
and what does that mean?
It's a delay. Yeah. Unless Yara thinks she can take those ships to Dany and be the one to. Do what Euron wants to do, which is conquer the Seven Kingdoms with Dany.
Yeah.
She might think that, actually.
Right.
She might be headed toward Essos.
I can't think of where else, especially since that seemed like that was Euron's master plan. So if you think it's a good one, then take all the ships. He's going to have to, you know, good luck building 1,000 ships in time to stop us.
Can you imagine Euron strolling up, dick in hand, saying, here I am, Dany.
Uh-huh.
Here I fucking am. Look at my big old dick.
Yeah.
She's going to give you the fucking bird and then have a dragon breathe fire on your head.
How many warts do you think it'll have on it?
No less than two. No less.
Yeah, love it. Full frontal nudity, but we got a dirty dick.
That's right.
Fake King Joffrey's got a dirty dick, the dirtiest.
It's true. Regular King Joffrey might have. I don't know. Who knows what that kid was up to?
Is that what you've been waiting for, ladies? The full frontal count is some beggar in King's Landing, Hodor, right. And the dirty dick. Do you feel...
Of the three, I'd say Hodor was probably the
he's got a little
most
giant,
impressive.
He's got some giant's blood in him there, yeah. But I don't know I still know the tally is equal.
No, so it's nowhere even close.
We didn't get to King's Landing at all this week.
No, we didn't.
Huh. We can talk about Dany.
Dany and Jorah, I thought that scene was great.
It was pretty good.
Great.
What did she mean by... Okay, what did she mean when she said, I want you by my side, and what did Jorah hear?
Are you saying, like, does she love him?
Well,
is that the question you're
asking?
I think
she does love him, because but not... It's the classic with the Wonder Years. Like, I think she likes him, but she doesn't like him.
Okay.
But I don't know.
She's
they were
Winnie and the nerdy tall kid.
I don't know. I felt like there was some kind of triangled attempt by the Double D's there. I wasn't necessarily buying it, but you know,
I was just more interested.
They had Dari over there looking hangdog for some reason.
Well, I mean, what's he gonna do? Like, Jorah's professing his love. Well,
and he's also saying, "I'm gonna sacrifice myself." And...
Yeah, you're going off to die anyway. What do I care?
Do you think he'll find the cure? And do you think he'll find the cure? Do you think it'll be significant?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I actually think, like, that's what makes the scene so good for me.
Yeah,
is that she's essentially commanding him to do everything he can not to die. Right,
to save himself. And it doesn't feel like there's going to be cosmic stakes to that decision. This isn't like...
No. I don't think he's going to come back riding a fucking dragon and help her or anything like that.
Turns out the cure is to find Lightbringer and to slit your wrist with it. No, he's got Lightbringer and here's the end of the game. Yeah, right.
This was like her way of saying I love you without like actually coming out and saying it in front of Dario.
Yeah.
But it works so well because like Jorah's just, you know, otherwise he's going to give up. And now... If he loves her, and if he follows his sworn oath, he has to go try to find a cure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it succeeds or not, because he's probably dead anyway.
Okay.
Like I don't think he's going to find a cure in time. That's not the point. The point is you need to do everything you can to stay alive because I want you to.
Okay, so you think that this could be the end of his story?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
All right.
I don't think he's going to find a cure.
Huh. What?
I think this is the moment where Dany says... like thank you and I love you and like all the things that she's been wanting to say for saving her life.
It's
twice,
the third path where you can't be with me and I can't banish you, but this is effectively doing that but without any kind of anger or judgment,
and you're dead anyway, so I'm gonna let you know how I feel. Like that sort of thing.
It's hard for me to believe that this is how a story ends,
really,
but I do agree that I don't think it matters to the overall arc whether he lives or dies. So it is kind of just like a curiosity at this point. I don't know, it might loop back around.
Maybe he comes back with a cure for... Maybe he goes and he becomes king of Valyria or something.
I don't know.
Like, he goes up there and cures the
Stone Men.
Cures
all the Stone Men. He's got another army for.
Has an army, right.
Yeah, an army of cured Stone Men, but they still have all the stone powers.
With Valyrian steel, can fight the White Walkers, maybe.
Sure.
Who knows?
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues, but then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question: who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV+, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
What else? I know there's...
Speaking of which, apparently it's not Valyrian steel that kills White Walkers. It's just any fucking crusty-ass spear you can find on the ground.
Oh, I think those are all obsidian spears.
Dragonglass?
Yeah, Dragonglass. That's the only explanation, because there's no all of these spears laying against the wall. So I just figured that they would be stocked, but they would, of course, be obsidian, right?
I suppose so.
Because that's...
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, because
why look at John all weird?
You throw a fucking weird stone's tip spear and the guy bursts into snow dust. No, that's not what we've been taught.
Okay,
I was actually expecting to see, and maybe they did. It was a really dark scene. Mm-hmm. When I watch it, they'll actually make a point that these were all obsidian tipped spears. But that's what I'm expecting anyway.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I know there's one other thing that I want.
There's the Red Woman, the second Red Woman, which this is the worst fucking idea I've ever seen.
Right? This is essentially the same thing as going on in King's Landing. Religious fanatics.
Yeah.
You are letting religious fanatics into your kingdom to help control the population, right? Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Is that the point? Are they paralleling Cersei and Tyrion?
It feels
Tyrion
like it,
here?
And but Tyrion feels like the idiot, and Varys feels like the smart guy. But then again, this and Red Woman's able to just shut his shit down. And do you think what's significant about her? It's like hey, we're serving the same queen, and if you are serving her faithfully, you have nothing to fear.
I mean, after the shit she pulled, I'm like,
it feels
it's
like
a witch, but sort of thing.
Right? I mean, it feels like that she can read his thoughts and mind, so... But then again, as
maybe,
Varys
or maybe
said,
she just has knowledge. Maybe she gathered intel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because there was a lot of significant lines about knowledge is power and all that stuff.
Then again, we've seen...
It does feel like a really bad idea that she's going to flood the streets with her prophets. And,
oh, yeah. Terrible idea.
Like, then you've got... Because then, once the people believe, you can make them believe anything. Like, yeah, they're propping up the queen and her servants now, but what happens when...
Yeah, consolidating it's
time for them,
power into someone else is, if you intend to rule, is a bad idea.
Yeah. Do you feel like that it's going... where is this arc going? Like, are they going to try to take the city for themselves and Dany's going to be forced? Is this essentially an accelerator? So let's say Theon and Yara get the ships to her and the city's in full-blown rebellion and she's lost it and she's tired of dealing with these fucking witches and warlocks and everything. And she's like, you know what? Fuck. Peace out, Marine. I'm going home. If this is what you want...
All right, can I just say, not a very good freer of slaves. Not a very good breaker of chains.
Yeah.
If you're just going to bounce at the first sight of trouble.
Well, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. If it could be your get out of bailing Marine out card. If the Marinese say, we want to follow the Lord of Light and we reject you as our leader and they want to become some kind of glorified theocracy, then is it Dany's job to liberate the people, like, because she knows better than them?
I feel like she might think it is. Yeah.
We'll see. But, I mean, she could also just take her Unsullied and her new Dothraki Screamers and say, peace out.
True.
I don't know. We got 5 episodes to unweave all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to talk about? Like, what?
Not really.
I'm just shocked that Bran didn't get more out of the Weirwood, like, training. It feels like he mostly got knowledge, but he didn't really get any new abilities as far as how to use it. Do you think...
Right.
His first thing I thought when the old man disappeared into black smoke was, now we're going to get Force Ghost. We're going to get Force Ghost Obi-Wan.
Really?
And he's going to be able to talk to him. He died connected to the Weirwood tree, and he's going to be able to talk to him and continue his training.
He did kind of just go out into the wind, yeah.
Right.
Maybe he'll be the whisper on the wind, like at the Tower of Joy.
Yeah, I mean, this might be like, again, I don't want to just crib off of Star Wars, but that's my first thought when I see a wise man kind of sacrifice himself.
Yeah. If you strike me down, I'll become stronger than this tree could ever have made me.
Yeah, right, right.
Stronger than the root of the biggest sycamore in all of Westeros.
Right.
Or some analogy.
Wasn't that
for
strong.
Trees.
I mean, zombies were able to just crawl through. That was the creepiest they've ever been, too.
That was a hell of a scene.
Like, I feel like The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones are in a game of one-upsmanship about who's got the scary zombies. And I feel like Game of Thrones is starting to kick the Walking Dead's ass in.
Yeah, they're not as creative with them. I always enjoy the creative ways that zombies die and the creative ways that they integrate different types of zombies in Walking Dead.
I thought
the
looks were pretty... Like, that one zombie with the half head standing there was really great. They're
great.
They're really good looking.
And I want to say, this scene is almost as impressive as Hardhome to me in a lot of ways.
It had that same kind of like, oh shit, kind of redefining what the zombies could do.
They can walk on ceilings.
Yeah, they're kind of like they got the alien genes in them.
I guess so.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And it was, again, it's the first time in a long time that Game of Thrones has been scary and very suspenseful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started to wonder, like, man, where is it going to stop this season? How many more people are going to die? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
John's safe, right? You can't kill him, bring him back, and kill him again.
Probably not.
I don't know that Sansa's safe because she's doing something. She's doing something foolish.
She is,
and it seems like this universe punishes people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, she's also looking really badass in her, you know, Lady Stark outfit. So
yeah,
and that scene with her and Littlefinger. What do you think Littlefinger's feeling in that scene? Is he just wanting to walk out of there alive?
Yeah.
Did he take a big gamble that she wouldn't kill him? Because
I want to know what was in the letter. Like,
I would too.
What did he send her that made...
Her analysis of the situation that you're either stupid or you are not to be trusted. And
I
either
would plead
one,
stupid.
I don't need either one in my life right now.
Sure, sure. But one you want to kill, one you just want to let go on their way. I don't know whether she believes him or not, and I think his goal, he was reading the room. That whole scene, like, he just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, he let her go on and say her piece, mm-hmm. and when she demanded an answer, he gave one, but he was just reading the room and trying to figure out how to get the fuck out of there.
We also got to talk about Brienne's reaction to Tormund.
God, I love
that's
it.
That's still the great...
And Tormund's goofy smile.
And her, like, and that redhead beard wilding. I don't... Yeah, no, it's a nice little comedy plot.
Yeah.
It seems like it's more that she is not interested in this crazy person at all.
Yet.
Yeah.
He might grow on her.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we know he's basically a nice guy when he's not killing innocent villagers.
He's come a long way.
I guess,
You know, he had to get his people south. He was doing the thing they needed to do.
Well, that's the thing. If you want to worry about your moral calibration, just remember how much we like Jaime by the end of season 3.
Right.
And 2 seasons before, he'd thrown an 8-year-old out of tower to its death so he couldn't tell on them for him for fucking his sister.
Yep.
Like, people can, like, and look at Theon. Theon went from the biggest shit to something to be pitied to now someone we're kind of rooting for again. Mm-hmm. This show really messes with your moral compass.
Ramsay's still unredeemable.
Ramsay is not going to go and make a face turn. No, fucking way.
Won't happen.
No, we riot. Tables flipped. I think that's pretty good for an instant cast. We of course will have all the things to talk about on Tuesday, and then Friday should be memorable because we got so much new beyond the books type information about the Night's King and the White Walkers, and even what's going on with the Blood Raven or the Three-Eyed Crow. It should be fairly exciting cast all this week. So cool. Game of Thrones at baldmove.com. If you got feedback, some takes on this, forums.baldmove.com. We got a spoiler thread, a non-spoiler thread for your enjoyment if you want to keep all separated up in there. And we'll see you Tuesday.
See you then.
Thanks for listening.